Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be listening to a message that I recently shared with our church family at Holt Assembly of God. Today's message is the first part of a series that's entitled The Plan. God has a plan for your life. This first message of the series is entitled Timing. God has a plan for our lives, and there is a timing component with that plan. In this message, I want to encourage you to discern the perfect timing of God's plan and not to procrastinate or prematurely affect the timing of His plan. If we are patient and trust that God has a plan, as believers we'll better discern the timing. I pray that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message. Let's start a new series this morning. We're going to entitle it The Plan. God has a plan, amen? God has a plan, and I know that's not very deep, but sometimes we lose sight of that fact that God has a plan. Circumstances can arise, things can occur, and you think, where on earth is God? And He's there. He's got a plan. So sometimes we need to be reminded of that. Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. And look at this, that we should walk in them. So God has a plan, but it does not render us down to divine automation. Are you following me? We have a choice. He has a plan, and we come into agreement with that plan. We walk in it by faith. We ask that God to discern it, God to reveal that plan, and we do. What we do is when we see God's plan, we understand it, we have to step into it and follow Him by faith. So I don't know about you, but I want to fulfill God's plan for my life. Amen? I want you to fulfill God's plan for your life, because when you do it and I do it, we do it, the church does it. Amen? With Christmas approaching, I'm going to use the Christmas story kind of as an example of God's plan. The first message in this series is entitled Timing. Timing. God has a plan, and He has plans for us. But those plans have the component of timing. Timing is so important. There are times where we have to discern God's plan, and then once we've discerned it, we have to figure out what the timing is of the situation. And sometimes we can act prematurely. Boy, have you ever gotten yourself in front of God, His will, His timing, gotten the proverbial cart in front of the horse? And there are times that we can get ahead of Him. And then there are times where we understand what God's calling us to, but then we procrastinate and we miss what God's trying to accomplish. So timing is important. And church, we must understand that the timing of God's plan, if we're ever going to fulfill His plan. Because again, we can procrastinate or we can get ahead, and both can cause serious problems. So timing is something important. Isaiah chapter 7, are you there? Isaiah was the son of Amos. He was a member of the royal family. And Isaiah made his first public appearance as a prophet in the year of Uzziah's affliction. And Isaiah ministered during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. He had quite a lengthy ministry. Isaiah's ministry brought a message of hope and a call to holiness at a time in Israel's history when the morals of the nation were reaching a low. And with the culture of the world closing in on Judah, as well as its enemies were surrounding it, there was this call from a prophet. He spoke and he said this. This is one of the verses. He speaks forward of a future hope. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him what? Emmanuel. If you hopefully have your finger there in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed, which means basically she's engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was conceived in the womb of a virgin via the Holy Spirit. Amen? Listen, why is that so important? Why is that act so important? Because if Jesus was not conceived of a virgin and is conceived of the Holy Spirit, you and I are still dead in our sins. We are still dead in our trespasses. Jesus would have been a man, just a man, and He would only have died for His own sins. And the atonement of the sins of the world would continue. There would be no atonement, so we'd still be responsible for our sins. So when Jesus was conceived of a virgin, what happens today is people begin to fudge on this, especially preachers. Well, we believe that it's open to interpretation. No, it's not. If you preach Jesus and you preach him without the Immaculate Conception, without the virgin birth, you preach a different Jesus, you preach a different gospel, that's not part of God's plan, and that's definitely not part of God's word. You preach another Jesus. You preach a different gospel. All right. I just needed to say that. Verse 19. Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. When Isaiah first speaks this prophecy, remember the climate, remember the time. He's speaking of a hope. These people are desperate at this time. Judah is in a desperate position. And Isaiah speaks forth this prophetic message of the Messiah. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. It takes 700 years for God's plan to come to pass. I don't know about you, and when I'm speaking this, I hope that doesn't discourage you this morning. Because I can tell you this, in most cases, it's not going to take 700 years for God's plan to come to pass. So you're going to be here. God's got a plan for you. But this was a time where he was speaking, and what it reminds us is this, that God's concept of time is completely different than ours. His concept of time is completely different than ours. We see that in the New Testament, 2 Peter 3:8. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. His timing is completely different. Why? Because God exists outside of our understanding of time. God's concept of time is different from ours. And that's why we must discern his timing. Are you following me? We want God to comply with us and be on our time schedules. That's not the way it works, Bubba. We got to be on his time schedule. Amen? Right now, God has a right now plan for you. It's not going to take 700 years to come to pass. But timing, the timing of that is so critical. And again, we can either procrastinate or we can get ahead of God. And I want you to make sure this. We want to be on time with God's timing. Amen? And I want you to ask yourself, do you really believe that God has a plan for your life? Because it should, that should be a yes. If you are born again, that should be a strong yes. If you have breath in your body, it looks like everyone here is breathing this morning, then God's got a plan for you. It doesn't matter how many breaths you have left, he still has a plan for you, amen? There's a great example in Scripture, I believe, one of the best examples of Scripture of not discerning the timing of God, and that's Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah obviously were promised a child. God gave them that promise that they would have an heir, a generational promise made by God. But there was one problem. Sarah remained barren for years, decades. So she decides she needs to help God fulfill his plan. Ever tried to help God out? Listen, it never ends good. So she comes up with this great plan. It's foolproof. It's wonderful. Of course, Abraham just falls right in with it. He's like, hey, all right. Decides that, hey, my slave belongs to me. She's my property. So what we'll do is, in order to have children, we'll conceive a child through her, because the child that would be conceived of that slave, which belonged to Sarah, would belong to her then, because that's property. And so the son or the child she would bear would belong to them. And it seemed like a great plan to Abraham and Sarah, but God wasn't in that plan. And it wasn't God's timing. And that's why we got to be careful, to make sure we discern God's plan and we discern the timing. Was it God's will for them to have a child? Absolutely. But it wasn't the right timing. We can get ourselves in a bit of trouble if we get in front of God's plan. God's divine plan was to bring Isaac into this world at a predetermined time. But the impatience of Abraham and Sarah brought Ishmael into the world, and that was a work of the flesh. And we still see the effects of that in the Middle East today. When we fail to discern God's timing, and act in our own and act on our own impatiently, we end up creating our own Ishmaels. Amen. Let me share a few scriptures with you concerning time. Habakkuk says this in chapter 2, verse 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. John 7, 6. Jesus said this. It's not my time. My time has not yet come. How many times do you recall in Scripture where Jesus, they attempted to seize him, and he passed through the midst of him? He just slipped through their fingers, so to speak. Why? They wanted to kill him, but it wasn't his time. Acts 3:21, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began. Psalms 31:15, this is King David. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Ecclesiastes 3:17, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. For there is a time, therefore, every purpose and for every work. So God has plans, God has timing, and we must discern that timing. Here's what I want you to know. God's timing is sometimes inconvenient. His plans and the timing of his plans are inconvenient. Why is that? Because Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. God has a different understanding of time. He has a different plan for us at times. And sometimes his plan is inconvenient for us. But here's the good news. God has a better view of your life than you do. Sometimes I think we know what's better for us better than what God does. But God has a different view. Only he can see. He can see the beginning from the end. Remember, he's created us in Christ Jesus. We're his workmanship. He has created things for us to step into, good things, blessings. But we have to do so by faith. Amen. He doesn't make us do it. He doesn't force us into it. We have the choice. I believe we all struggle at times with his timing. Have you ever struggled with timing? Good intentions, but it was the wrong timing. Or God revealed something to us. We say, it's not the right time. But it was the right time. Timing is so important. I think we struggle more than we like to admit in this area. Because again, I think we understand. We think we know what's best. Boy, that's why it's so important for us to hear God's word. Amen. We think we know what's best. Sometimes we are right. But then we're wrong. And what happens is this. We want God to clean up the mess that's left over. I can tell you this. Sometimes we're right, but God is right 100% of the time. Sometimes God's timing is inconvenient for our flesh, and that's why his timing is always best. So put yourself in the shoes of Mary and Joseph, or I guess the sandals maybe. A young couple, and you can read throughout Luke's account where he calls him husband and wife, but betrothed is, our understanding of engagement is a little bit different than theirs. It's a very strong bond. It's going to take place. It's going to happen. It's a very deep commitment. In our culture, we go through marriages like I don't know why. We go through engagements, but to them it was a much deeper sense of commitment. And so when you read that, don't get confused. They're not married yet. There's just a promise, and they have a date on the calendar. They have put this young couple are engaged. They were expecting for a marriage, for a wedding. They had it on their calendar. They had their plans. They were planning for the future, but suddenly 700 years of waiting for the right time for God occurs, and on that his calendar, it changes everything. See, they had their own calendar. They were doing their own thing, but God's calendar came up and said, this is the day. This is the moment. We don't have anything in our lives that's probably going to compare to this on this magnitude, but God has those encounters with you and I. He has plans for us, plans to bless us. Let's go back to the story. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Verse 29. But when she saw him, she was what? Troubled at his saying. And considered what manner of greeting this was. Mary, I don't know that Mary is all that excited at first. I mean, she's troubled. She's like, well, yay me. What do I owe Listen, it's not every day that angels show up on your door. And when they say highly favored, your world may change. They just don't show up every day and say, hey, you are awesome, you are great. God's eye is on you. You've caught the eye of the master. But remember, his ways, his plans are greater than ours. But she's troubled. She's perplexed. We don't know exactly how old Mary is when this all occurs. And the Bible doesn't tell us. There's all sorts of speculation. But I believe it's safe to conclude, based on the times and the culture, you're dealing with a young lady, probably an older teenager, 15, 16, 17 years old. She was a young woman, but again, she had plans to get married, plans to start a family. But when she has this encounter, she's engaged. Her anticipation is to be married, but all that changes because God steps in. God steps in and he changes all things. And there are times in our life where we got to be ready for God's timing. There are those moments that will take place that just suddenly occur. And we have to be ready for those moments. But then there are those times where God begins to reveal a plan and there is a timing component in the future. And church, I just want you to know that we have to be ready for both of them. God's timing may not always be to our liking, but if we found favor in God's eyes, the timing of God is for our betterment. It's not for our detriment. Look at Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Another translation. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Last 2 weeks, I spoke on the subject of being more than a conqueror. And we used the examples of David facing Goliath and Joshua leading Israel into battle against mighty armies, fortified cities. Mary exemplifies the same faith, the same attitude of a conqueror. Look at Mary's brave response. It's a humble response to the angel. Then Mary said, behold, in verse 38, behold the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. In this world, it's being construed that Mary had no choice and God forced his will upon her. It's so ridiculous. Mary has a choice. Mary definitely has a choice. God reveals a plan to her. She could have said no. Listen, if God didn't need her permission, she just would have had a bun in the oven magically. It just would have shown up, but it wasn't that way. He comes and he reveals a plan to her and shows her. And what's her response? Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word. Man, church, that's why we need to make sure we're preaching God's word and preaching it with clarity. Because this world is so mixed up and misconstrued that it can take something as precious as the virgin birth and turn it around to something that it's not. God did not force her to conceive. That's not in the nature and the character of God. That goes against it. And when something goes against it and it don't make sense, it's not true. Mary had courageous faith. And that courageous faith led her to respond boldly to the timing of God's plan. She was willing. Think about this. She's willing. She loves Joseph. She's engaged to him. What's he going to say? She has to put all that aside. What does she do? She puts God first. This story is so simple, but it has such bold truths that she doesn't have to have a meeting. She makes the decision right there and there, right then and there. I'm going to go with God's plan. I recall a time of scripture where Jesus had disciples that would come to him. One came to him in particular and said this, Matthew chapter 8, verse 21. Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Verse 22, Jesus said to him, follow me. And let the dead bury their own dead. You can look at that and say, that's heartless. That's cold. Well, if you don't understand that there's a mourning process that we're not looking at, what this guy is asking for is more time. You understand? He's just looking for an extension. And I believe Jesus' response is also rooted in Mary. That, you know what? There was a young lady years ago who gave birth to me. This was very inconvenient for her and Joseph, but they decided to put God first. And I believe his response reflects that. A young woman who puts all of her dreams, all of her plans on the back burner and puts God first because she correctly discerns God's time and God's plan. When it comes to timing, I think there's two spiritual truths we need to consider. And I'm going to be honest with you, these two spiritual truths, one especially, you're not going to like. because none of us like the word patience. We must be patient. When it comes to the things of God, the plans of God, we must be patient. Psalms 37:7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Pastor, I need patience. We can't lay hands on you and give you patience and ask God to bless you with patience. And I would advise you not to ask for patience. God doesn't give us patience because patience is a fruit of the Spirit. It has to be developed. And you might need patience. I get that. I need it. But what happens is when you need it more, God gives you opportunities to develop that more. Isn't that funny how that works? God, I need patience. Okay. Well, here you go. Here's someone to get underneath your skin. Here's a traffic situation. Here's a job situation. Here's a child situation. Do I need to go on? If you need patience, you might, and finding yourself in situations where you might need to bite your tongue, you probably should bite your tongue because maybe God is trying to share with you the gift of shutting up. Sometimes we need patience and God has given it to us. He's trying to for us to develop that. And we have to realize sometimes we just need to keep our mouth shut. God will help you, though. That's the good news. He doesn't say this. All right, patience, here's the situation. Now you're out there on your own. That's not the way it works. God is with you. He'll strengthen you. He'll empower you. He'll equip you. But he's not going to do it for you. So patience and maturity. It's very difficult. But patience will help us understand the timing of God's plan. Therefore, if we lack patience, then here again, if we lack patience, your potential is coming your way. Just be reminded of that this morning. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You say, well, Pastor, I don't see patience. It's that word long-suffering. Patience is just a nice way of saying long-suffering. Translated, suffer long. How long, oh Lord, how long? Just a little bit longer, buddy. Just a little bit longer. Patience just sounds better, doesn't it, than long-suffering, suffer long. Have you ever suffered long with someone? Patience, my friend. Patience just sounds better, doesn't it? Patience goes against our flesh, but patience is a quality of the Holy Spirit. And patience will help you discern God's plan. Jesus, he is a model of patience. Jesus is patient with us when we become hard-headed. He is patient with us when we go astray. For nearly 2,000 years, he's been patient. He's waiting to return. He's waiting to come for his church. Why is he so patient? 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God loves us. That's why he's patient with us. Love motivates patience. And if you've been married for any number of years successfully, you know that love and patience go hand in hand. And if you're going to have any sense of true love in a marriage or any type of relationship, patience is going to be key. And patience is key in our relationship with God. God is patient with us because he loves us. And he expects that same patience with him. He knows, he understands his plan for us. We don't. We don't understand it. We don't always get it. He does. There comes that factor. We just got to be patient with him because we know he loves us. And whatever his plan is, it's going to be for our betterment. Remember, church, love is patient. Love is kind. Do you remember 1 Corinthians, the love chapter? Second component that helps us with the timing of God is trust. When it comes to the timing of God, we must trust God in these situations. Abraham is called the father of faith, but he always didn't trust God. We see that reflected in the situation with him and Sarah. He had faith in God. He knew God would bring the promise to come to pass. He didn't know how, so he thought he's just going to help him. But it also comes down to this. There was a breakdown of trust. Because ultimately, God said this, Abraham, you're going to have a son. When they have Ishmael, he makes it even clearer. Listen, I didn't say with another woman, with Sarah, your wife. And it reminds him. So there was a matter of trust there that was waning in the relationship. Now, I'm not saying they didn't love God, but I'm saying this, their trust began to erode away. Why? Because their flesh said this, we need to trust in ourselves. We need to help God out. God's not following through on this plan, So maybe, just maybe, we need to give him an opportunity. God doesn't need the opportunity. He'll present it to you. You just need to be available and obedient. Amen? Trust in the Lord, Proverbs 3, 5, 6 says, with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. I want to recommend that you memorize that verse. You should memorize that verse and have it tattooed on your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Psalms 32:10. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Trust is rooted in love. And the first and most important commandment Jesus summarizes from God's word is that we love God first, correct? With all that's within us. Because without trust, there is no love. So trust is a very deep component in our relationship with God. When our love for God fades, we begin to trust in other things. We see situations from a different point of view. We lose his perspective. Abraham and Sarah loved God, but they had a love for conceiving a child that grew greater than their love for God. They trusted in themselves as a result. This is why we need to meditate upon the Word of God. Church, this is why it's so important for you to come to church, yes, and hear God's Word preached. That's important, but it's so important that you take time out of your daily schedule and consume God's Word. Flood your heart, flood your mind, consume it. Let it get into your system, amen? Let it become a part of you. The Word of God reveals the nature, the character of God, and when we meditate on it, rather than our flesh, rather than our feelings, it builds trust. If you feel like, man, where is God in this situation? Where is he at? Run to the Word of God. Begin to look for those scriptures where he's making promises. Strengthen your faith. Renew your faith. If it comes to an area of trust, just do a simple word search. Look for the word trust. Read how many scriptures there are about trust. Just begin to meditate on God's word. Mary trusted God. God was bold enough to trust her to carry his son. Then why on earth would she not trust him? Love speaks of trust. There's no one here today, no one in here that's going to be called to trust God on this level, to this magnitude. Often we face difficult situations where the timing of God is important. And we question, is God really in control? Have you ever done that? Is God really in control of this situation? And the answer is always yes. He is in control of the situation, but we have a choice. We're not pre-programmed robots living in a perfect world. We serve a perfect God who has a perfect plan, but sometimes things delay that plan. There are reasons. There are things that are beyond our comprehension that only God knows and only God understands. You know, sometimes things will occur. We feel like they're supposed to happen at a certain time. Did we miss God? Nope. Did we procrastinate? No. So what happened? Sometimes there was just a delay that we don't understand. Because here's the deal. We live in a fallen world, and some of our decisions are connected with each other. Do you know your decision can affect me, and my decision can affect you? It's easy just to say, well, God's got a plan. It just happens no matter what. Yes and no. Yes, you can be a part of God's plan, and yes, you can exclude yourself from God's plan. Because God's plan will be accomplished. He'll call on someone else. If Mary would have said no and absolutely said, no, no way, I'm getting married. This is my heart. This is my hope, my dream. Then God would have found another person who was ready. Listen, if we love God, we must trust him and trust that he is working situations for our benefit. And when the timing is right, and we must follow his lead. God is in control. He's a mighty God, but he allows us choices. He's sovereign, but he gives us the opportunity to choose. Remember, church, God is on your side. He's rooting for you. Just trust him. Romans 8:28. Some of you just need to meditate on the scripture. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God. If you love God, God is working these things out for your benefit. To those who are called according to his purpose. God had a plan of salvation that would benefit Mary and Joseph, and now billions. Think about that. The obedience of Mary now benefits millions of people. Billions of people throughout time, throughout the church age. God trusted this person, this lady, to this magnitude. God trusts you with a task. When God trusts you with the situation,
just be reminded that he's not throwing this burden on you. He's not throwing this problem. He's not throwing this situation. He's not throwing this blessing upon you weekly. He's not doing it willy-nilly. He trusts you. Trust him. Can you imagine the stress of carrying around the Son of God? Could you imagine the stress of a father and a mother raising that child? I'm sure that he was not allowed or in any hot pan. I mean, think about that. That poor kid had to, if they had styrofoam, he would have lived in bubble wrap or something. But a humble couple, a very humble couple, discerned the plan of God, despite the inconvenient timing, and they chose to put God's plans first. Worry can lead to bad decisions. Worry can lead to bad decisions, but trust leads to peace, and trust leads to good decisions. Church, we've got to be reminded from God's word during crisis times not to make a poor decision based on our emotions, but make a good decision based on the counsel from God's word. God will not leave you, nor what? Get that into your spirit. God has a plan that will benefit you. God has a desire to bless you. When you allow these things to govern you, when they become a part of who you are, listen, your attitude begins to change. It's kind of like with going back with David and with Joshua. They had an attitude of a conqueror. Why was that? Because they knew who they were in Christ. They knew who they were in God. And when that happens to us, well, we understand that God is for you. God wants to bless us. When we face those situations, we look at it differently. We say, well, this is a problem. This is an issue. Something's taking place that I don't like. Well, why is this occurring? Because there is a blessing involved in it. We may not always see it. We may not always understand it. God is working things out for our good. Let's go on down. Luke chapter 1, verse 34. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I do not know a man? How can this happen? I don't understand. Mary heard the will of God. She was full of questions. And it's okay to question God. It's okay. God will give you reassurance. If you need clarity, God will give you clarity. The angel, I love it. The first time the angel says, you are highly favored to the lady. He doesn't call her by name. The second time, he calls her by name, giving her that reassurance, knowing that God knows who you are. He goes on to say, verse 35, the Holy Spirit will overcome you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, the Holy One who is born, to be born, will be called the Son of God. Then he goes on to write, verse 37, for with God, nothing will be impossible. What the angel is saying is this in Mary's situation. He's given her reassurance concerning the impossibility. She's saying, listen, I can't have a child because I've never known a man. He goes, the Holy Spirit will take care of that. He's reassuring her. He's speaking to her and he says, God's going to be involved in this. The Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you. This is going to take place. The Holy Spirit will help you. The Holy Spirit will help you in the plan of God, church. Listen, Mary and Joseph was not out there alone. This whole situation was not void of God. It was not just them. The Holy Spirit was there to help them. The power of the Most High shall overshadow you, he says. The Holy Spirit will remind you of wisdom, and he'll give you insight into God's word, and he'll give us reassurance. The Holy Spirit is so vitally important when it comes to the plan of God. This is what happens. Church, lean not on your own understanding. Trust the Lord. How do we do that? We trust in his word. We trust in the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will always lead in with relationship with the word of God. Amen. He will not say something that is contrary to God's word. When we look for reassurance, when we're looking for that peace, we need to look to God's word. The Holy Spirit will empower you in your time of need. The Holy Spirit will encourage you. Remember, he is a comforter. He is a counselor. When things seem impossible, when we're trying to discern God's plan, this is the help of the Holy Spirit. I need to remind you of how important the Holy Spirit is in this process. What seems impossible now is not impossible with God. And this morning, whatever situation you're in, I want to encourage you. Discern God's plan, discern his timing, and understand this. God is for you. He's not against you. The Holy Spirit will help you. If it seems impossible, he is there to help you and encourage you. Amen? When it comes to the plan of God, the most important plan is your soul. Is where will you spend eternity? Yeah, God's got a plan for you that begins at the cross. Have you given your life to Jesus? Have you offered your life to him? Pastor, I said the prayer. I got dunked in water and all that. Yep. But did you give your life to Jesus? The plan begins there, friend. We can go through religious things and all that, but the plan begins when there's a surrender. Have you surrendered yourself to God? If not, then today, do so. When the altar is open, when we come and pray, come to this altar, offer yourself to him a living sacrifice. God's got an incredible plan for your life.
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life of the Spirit. I pray that you are blessed and that your faith has been encouraged. If you're not attending a house of worship and you're looking for a church home, I want to invite you to come worship with us on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our family night. We have ministry opportunities for all ages, children, youth, and adults. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. Our web address is www.holtag.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, may God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.